How important is forbearance? Colossians 3, 12 and 13. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, or forbearance, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. The subject for this discourse came to me through our Thursday night Christian Questions Zoom study. These Zoom meetings began a few years ago with new interest from the podcast. Two young couples from Northern Alberta, Canada, which are now consecrated, and many brethren all over the world have joined us in that study. And recently we decided to study the topic of forgiveness. And Brother Rick created an outline from one of the CQ podcasts in preparation for the study and thought it was important to begin with the word patience as a catalyst to be able to fully forgive. We thought in the study we would touch on the topic as an introduction. But what actually happened was we studied patience for 4 hours of over four different studies, an hour each of the four studies, and the brethren just couldn't get enough of it. It was very inspiring. So I was inspired from the synergy and the group and their thoughtful comments on these three different types of patience, but especially forbearance. And I realized how important it is, so hence our subject. Our focus will be on forbearance, but we'll touch on the other two types of patience in the New Testament. Number one, the first word and the most basic form of patience is Strong's number 1933, which means to be appropriate, not reactive, mild, wait with calm intention. An example of this word is found in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, in other words, your patience and appropriateness, be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's look at a hypothetical example of this type of patience. Picture this. Your child walks into the room and says, "Hey, Dad, I got a tattoo. Isn't it great?" You instantly say to yourself, "Don't react. Stay calm. Why would they do that? It's okay. It's just a form of expression. It's their choice. But do they realize when they get old and wrinkly, the image is going to fade and it's going to be hard to recognize?" Then you say, "Oh, that's unique." Well, then you hear your child say, "Oh, I got to go show Mom." And then you smile and you count 3, 2, 1, and you hear, "You did what?" Now, which parent showed patience? Now, remember, this is hypothetical. Brother Russell remarks about this type of patience in reprint 4809. Temperance, self-control, let men see by our thoughtful, not rash and hasty, careful and considerate demeanor in every affair of life that we honor our profession. I really love that comment. The best way to learn this appropriate, non-reactive patience is through spiritual maturity. This means looking back on our experiences and reflecting on our mistakes. I should have been quiet in that instance or spoken up more that time, but always with a calm demeanor. Unfortunately, years ago, I failed along these lines. We were at my parents' house helping them with some home improvements, And my older sister began putting down my Christian beliefs and saying, "You're not a Christian." Well, she knew how to push my buttons. So in defending the truth, I didn't react well or handle my responses to her calmly. In fact, it was quite the opposite. This was a great learning experience for me, though. We often learn best from our failures. Remember, this kind of patience shows calm intention and evenness, which reminds me of what used to be one of my mother-in-law, Sister Josephine Franco's favorite sayings. "Lord, keep your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth." Psalm 141:3 tells us the same thing when it says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Also, Proverbs 15:1 says that a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. These are great verses for this type of patience. So again, this is the most basic kind of patience. Number two, the second kind of patience we will look into is the most common type of patience, Strong's number 5281. It's used more often than any of the others. In the noun form, it means cheerful or hopeful endurance or constancy. It's the kind of patience that intentionally remains under duress. This patience is found in Luke 21:19. "In your patience possess ye your souls." Or in other words, "In your endurance possess ye your souls." This word, patient or endure, as a verb, means to stay under, to undergo, that is, to bear trials. An example of this verb is found in Hebrews 10:32-36. "But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated." Brother Russell remarks on this verse in reprint 58:18, quote, "In Hebrews chapter 10, the Apostle Paul tells them of how some of them had in the past endured a great fight of afflictions and how others had suffered with those in affliction in that they had been sympathizers and companions of those who had been so persecuted. All this was endured for the Lord's sake, for the love of the brethren, and in harmony with God's arrangement. Therefore, they should have confidence in God that he loved them and he appreciated all that they had borne for him." End quote. Continuing in Hebrews 34. "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizures of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance," the word for patience, "so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." Here's an interesting comment by Brother Russell. Quote, "The Lord cannot give us patience except by giving us trials to develop that patience. If those who are now suffering affliction because of their loyalty to the Lord will take afflictions with trials joyfully, these will surely work out good to them." End quote. In our personal experience, we had to learn this type of patience when rescuing my parents from my mentally ill sister and an unsafe environment. We brought them to our house to live. We didn't know how it would work out, but there was no other option. My dad had advanced Alzheimer's and an aortic aneurysm, and my mom needed help, and she liked to be waited on, which made it challenging. We had caregivers, nurses, and physical therapists in and out of our home about 13 hours a day, for which we were thankful, But our home wasn't our own. But of course, it was the Lord's house. Our routine changed. I was working full-time, and Sister Jewel had a lot of the responsibility. And when I got home from work, I would take over. Dad passed away after 8 months, and my mom was with us for 3 years. But we were determined to see it through, even though at times we felt like we couldn't handle it anymore. By God's grace, we persevered and have no regrets, and He gets all the glory. Remember, this second kind of patience intentionally remains under duress. You see the experience through with all its challenges. Again, this is the most common type of patience. So to review, we've looked at the first two types of patience. Number one, the first type is to be appropriate and mild in our reactions. Remember the tattoo story. Number two, the second type of patience is to persevere under trial, to cheerfully endure. The third type, this is Strong's number 3115. In the noun form, it means longanimity, forbearance, or fortitude. Longanimity is a word we don't use much, and I can't say it very well, so I'm glad we don't use it much. And it means a disposition to bear injuries patiently. That's different. It describes holding yourself back in personal pain or harm. It shows great restraint. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon adds the word long-suffering to the definition, and the King James Version often translates this type of patience as long-suffering. However, we'll be using the word forbearance throughout our discussion to be consistent. This word is found 24 times in the New Testament as either a noun, verb, or adverb. This patience or forbearance goes well beyond a calm demeanor, and also it doesn't have cheerful endurance. But how is it different from what we've learned so far? Let's look at an example of this type of patience. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's interesting how in the English language we use the same word for all these three different kinds of patience. When reading scriptures, it's easy to mix them up, and if we don't look up the Greek words, we can be confused. Until studying this, I hadn't realized that this patience in the fruit of the Spirit was this forbearance. I always thought it was cheerful endurance. When we are going through persecutions, injuries, or harm, this is the kind of patience we should cling to. How important is it to understand and to develop this fruit of patience or forbearance? It's required. If we are to be faithful to our Christian walk, we need to develop this fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at forbearance from a legal standpoint. When a loan is in forbearance, it means you don't have to make the payments, or you can temporarily make smaller ones. The loan holds back on its legal requirement and its payment schedule. The important question is, how does this holding back apply to us? Well, to have forbearance as a follower of Christ is to say, I am rightly owed something, but I won't take it, and I won't ask for it right away, and maybe I'll even forgive the debt. Luke 6 tells us, when we lend, to expect nothing in return. And we see an example of forbearance when Jesus teaches Peter about forgiveness in the parable of the unmerciful or unforgiving servant found in Matthew 18, 23 through 27. We'll read this from the New Living Translation. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in and owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Forbear with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Remember what happened next? The man left the king and went to his fellow servant, who owed him only a few thousand dollars, but he demanded instant payment. The servant begged and pleaded for him to be patient with him, and he would repay the debt. So what happened? The man wouldn't forbear, and he had his servant put in prison. Jesus is teaching us that all our Adamic sins are forgiven. We should be willing to forgive the smaller things that others do to us. Let's repeat that. We should be willing to forgive the smaller things that others do to us. Jesus is teaching us there is no comparison. How do we do that? We start with forbearance. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon helps us understand the clear meaning of forbearance. Slowness in avenging wrongs. Patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. Slow to anger. Slow to punish. Bravely enduring misfortunes and troubles. Forbearance does require some endurance. So the idea of forbearance is to be on guard against our emotions and not give in to them. We should be disciplined in holding back and rising above our feelings in difficult situations, as Jesus did in the midst of persecution. We are to use sanctified self-restraint. Think about that phrase, brethren. Sanctified self-restraint. Let's figure out how that works. In the Old Testament, the word Selah, often found in the Psalms, means to pause and consider. Let's use this concept with patience. Pause and use sanctified self-restraint. Forbearance works in conjunction with the first type of patience, which is keeping a calm demeanor. Remember Stephen's experience, and what a wonderful example he was of forbearing, leading up to a stoning, and keeping his mild demeanor. Acts 6:15, he was described as having the face of an angel. Now that's a calm demeanor. Do you realize, brethren, our forbearance can be seen by others. It's important to follow the advice of James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let's look at the example of our Lord Jesus forbearing or having self-restraint when he was abused. This is prophetically spoken in Isaiah 50, 6 through 8. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face for humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. That is full determination not to bend or break. And I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Take a Selah moment and think about our Lord Jesus and the forbearance that he went through for us. Jesus went through all of this pain to bring glory to his Father. Here's a perfect example that we can look to for having this quality of forbearance. Do we feel the nearness of our Heavenly Father like Jesus did in the middle of trial when standing up for righteousness' sake? His forbearance honored his father. It was necessary to not defend himself. He showed incredible restraint. How grateful we should be for the depth of Jesus' loyalty to fulfill his father's will. Our Heavenly Father is the principal example of forbearance. It all began with him. How many different ways has God shown forbearance? More than we can count. Let's look at the example in the Old Testament, Exodus 32, 9 through 14. And we talked about this earlier. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. Moses intervenes on behalf of the Israelites. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off of the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. God continually holds back. He doesn't have to, but he does. He forbore the iniquities and disobedience of the Israelites. They complained and continued to sin through their thoughts, words, and deeds. He offered mercy and stayed silent in the face of refusal to submit to him. He forbore their doubts in him before exacting any punishments. This is another Selah moment. This is God's example to us of how he forbore. And we know he was testing Moses and testing Moses' love for his people. How grateful we should be because he does the very same thing for us. Here's a mirror question to ask ourselves. Do I thank my Heavenly Father for his forbearance on my behalf? Lord, thank you for being patient with me when I fall short. God also forbore the pain of watching everything Jesus went through and the loneliness of being physically separated from him. The injustices he knew his son would bear must have troubled him deeply. The pain and torture Jesus had to forbear as God looked on were beyond what we can understand because our Father's perfect love and perfect sympathy. How about the forbearance of God turning his face from our Lord Jesus on the cross? We can't comprehend the depth of what God felt having to take a moment away from his son. Moving on. How does our forbearance affect our judging of one another? Romans 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For if you who judge practice the same things, we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. So Paul is saying here, we should hold back and not judge others when we are doing the same kinds of things, even if it's in a lesser degree. However, there are times when judgment is appropriate. It is in those times when we need sanctified self-restraint or forbearance. Why? To properly help the erring one. It's for their benefit we forbear. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, forbearance, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? In other words, God's kindness leads us to repentance. He held back on us so our kindness towards others can lead them to repentance and recovery. There's no comparison to our little examples of when we have to hold back and forbear compared to our Heavenly Father. Paul had many challenges with the Corinthian church because of all the idolatry that they were used to. He gently corrected the Corinthians like a loving father instead of punishing them. Paul wanted to lead them to repentance. He showed great forbearance as he sought their highest spiritual standard through compassionate rebuke. Next, our forbearing also involves waiting for God's plan and prophecies to unfold. We must wait with a steady heart and mind, trusting God's perfect timing. James 5:7-8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, forbear until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient, forbearing about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient, forbear, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Forbearance shows up three times in this scripture. Their brethren have been expecting God's kingdom since 1914 and until our present day. There have been many predictions and different ways of explaining end time prophecies. We all want the trouble to be over so we can be a part of the blessing of all the families of the earth. Our forbearance is a critical test. Revelation 6:10-11. How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. We must forbear a little while longer. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. It hastens and tarries at the same time. It hastens, why? Because God's plan is precisely on time. It's tarrying because he's waiting for us to make our calling and election sure. So to recap, we've looked at forbearance as part of the fruit of the Spirit. We've seen the legal aspect as holding back from that which you can rightfully claim, holding back judgment of those around you in a godly way, holding back our weariness and waiting for God's plan to come to fruition. When we think of forbearing, we think about our Heavenly Father and how he allows sin to run its course through the permission of evil. How sheltered we are as brethren, because he sees the depths and atrocities of sin that we have no idea about, things that we can't even imagine. And yet, this is the very reason for us to be prepared for the reconciliation work, so that when these are exposed to us, we forbear the awfulness and the injustices. Next, we will look at forbearance and how it is motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13:3-6. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, forbearing. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now, with this in mind, remember how important forbearance is in the fruit of the Spirit. But now it's listed first in describing love in the love chapter. Love forbears. That is the very first thing Paul teaches us about love in verse 4. I never realized that, that was that kind of patience. Love is forbearing. Jesus loves us and yet exercises great restraint as he and our Heavenly Father wait for us to grow and develop. This is how we are to love one another. How do we do that? By focusing on the will of God. If we can develop this kind of patience or forbearance along with love, we can endure all things. As it says in verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the cheerful endurance patience. So they work together. A powerful lesson is clear. We need to forbear or restrain ourselves from natural fleshly reactions and respond as we choose to stand in love. To love selflessly means to commit to restraint as we put others first. Let's say that again. To love selflessly means to commit to restraint as we put others first. The Bible is full of examples of forbearance, so let's look at Joseph. Thank you, Brother Todd, for all the times we've looked at Joseph. He showed restraint and put others first. After being sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, Joseph had the power to take revenge when he rose to power in Egypt. Instead, Joseph showed restraint, love, mercy, and forgave their betrayal despite having it within his right to punish them harshly. Remember what he told his brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What restraint, what forbearance. Forbearance and love are required when dealing with issues within the body of Christ, if properly exercised. We will stand firm in Christ and not ourselves. Next, let's introduce another word that combined with forbearance heightens its meaning, especially when dealing with brethren, and it's the word bear. Let's read Colossians 3, 12 and 13. So, as those who had been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, forbearance, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. The word for bearing is Strong's number 430. It means to hold oneself up, to stand straight and firm. When putting the words forbearance and bearing together, it means we are to stand firm with restraint and stand firm with restraint. This forbearance is hard to do, especially when we have challenges with someone who sees things differently than we do. We must stand firm and not compromise biblical principles while loving each member of the body of Christ because they are chosen too. When we have complaints or issues with each other, we need compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. This will allow us to properly forbear and therefore stand firm in Christ as we stand with our brethren with whom we disagree. This opens the door for an even closer relationship. Continuing in Colossians 3, 14 to 17, beyond all these things, forgiving one another, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The body of Christ is to have one purpose based on love with heartfelt harmony and praise. There will be times when we see things a little differently, and that's okay. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Forbear and stand firm in Christ. This leads to strong and mutual uplifting fellowship in Christ. Forbearance gives others the benefit of the doubt and can only be displayed through a humble spirit. Forbearance is required of us as followers of Christ. This is not to minimize how we feel. It's simply not acting on it in a way that is not Christ-like. Respond, don't react. It's important to make a distinction here. Tolerance, putting up with the brethren, is not forbearance. Forbearance is an active choice to demonstrate love and compassion in the face of challenges. Jesus is our perfect example. He did not tolerate Judas. He loved him, even though Judas would deceive him. How do we know that? At the very moment Jesus was being betrayed, he looked at Judas and called him friend. Friend. Brethren, if we are just tolerating or just putting up with the brethren, we have an improper heart condition that needs to change. Agape, love them. We do that by forbearing. Our self-restraint or forbearance is one of the most important qualities we should develop as Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:14-19. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient, forbear with everyone. See that no one repays evil with evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. We are to forbear the unruly, the faint-hearted, and the weak. They are very fragile. Give each the care they need. If someone lashes out in an evil way, forbear for their good. I know what that feels like. Earlier I talked about failing with my patience with my oldest sister. Well, because of that experience and that failure, it helped me later. At my dad's memorial service in Delaware, I had the opportunity to give a truth message when the memorial was over. I was attacked in the parking lot by my sister before we left. All I could think of was what Jesus went through. That is all I was thinking about as this was happening at that very moment. So I did not acknowledge or react to her beating me on the back or the extreme verbal abuse. I loaded my mom's wheelchair in the back. I made sure everyone was in safely in their seats, and we drove away. By God's grace, he gave me the strength to forbear in a way that I didn't think I could. And it was learning through experience. And so I am very thankful for that experience. I have no regrets. The only way this could be accomplished is to rely on God's Spirit working in us. The best way to stay close to him is to follow verses 16 through 19. That's our formula for success. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Dealing with the different characters is a big challenge. We're all so different. Some are more emotional. Some are highly logical. Some find it hard to express themselves. And some tell you five different ways what they mean. What better way can we be prepared to help the world as we exercise this forbearance with each other and with all people? And if we think about it, we need forbearance even in dealing with ourselves, under weaknesses and battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Brethren, look around the room. Maybe there are some in the room you may have difficulty with. Remember Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and forbearance. Bearing with each other and forgiving each other. I love what Brother Russell states about forbearance. I never found this quote until just researching this. He says, "Forbearance is one of the grandest graces of the Holy Spirit. What loving and long-suffering patience we should have towards our fellow members of the body of Christ."